Welcome to Africa's LSB podcast, your monthly podcast for the language services industry in Africa. We cover trends in translation, interpretation, localization, and language industry in general. This podcast is presented by Bilingo Communications and Media Council and hosted by the wonderful Adi Namaran Koulibaly. If you want to give us your feedback or feature on the podcast, send us an email. The address is info@bilingoconsult.com.
This podcast is supported by Multilingual, your go-to source for language industry news since 1987.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Africa's LSP podcast, your premier podcast for the language services industry. I'm very excited today to have as a guest Kawe Kazi. She's a Zulu language professional and she's done a lot of work with the language. We're going to talk about Zulu and South Africa and its culture and its language. So you're welcome to Africa's LSP podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Please introduce yourself. Tell us about how you got into the language industry, how the journey has been like for you. And then you can tell us a fun fact about you in Zulu so that we can have a feel of the language as well.
Hello to all the listeners. My name is Kawe Kazi. I am South African. I am Zulu. At school, I studied languages, majoring in isiZulu and English. And now that took me to the, I also studied translations as well. Now I work as a language practitioner. I do a lot of translations for different clients, international clients. Just trying to think of a fun fact that I can share with you. In isiZulu, which is my language, we refer to it as isiZulu rather than Zulu. Let me just say, angithandi ukuvuka ekuseni kakhulu. This means I don't like waking up very early in the morning in isiZulu. I hope that is enough. I'll add some more if there are any questions.
That's really a fun fact. Thank you so much. All right, so South Africa is really one of the superpowers on the continent of Africa. We know it had such a history that is well known all over the continent. And so with isiZulu, I want to find out if there is any historical facts that can be linked to the history of South Africa with regards to the language.
Do you mean the history of the country, South Africa itself, with regard to the language isiZulu?
Exactly, yes.
All right. So what comes to mind and what is known internationally in South Africa is that the Zulu people were amongst the very few who were able to fight and conquer the British army in the 1700s, or was it 1600s, when they first came here. So that was the start of this relationship, which was not a good one, between us and the Europeans. So the Zulu people are known as warriors, as people who started to resist the takeover here in South Africa.
Thank you for sharing that background with us. I really appreciate it. And so let's talk about the language itself now. In terms of places where it's spoken in South Africa, and of course also if it's spoken in other African countries, and maybe some data about the number of people that speak it.
All right. So isiZulu is spoken mainly in the KZN province, which is short for KwaZulu-Natal. This is the province that is along the Indian Ocean. So South Africa has got 9 provinces. We have 3 provinces along the sea, which would be Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. So KwaZulu-Natal, it's where the Zulu people are. It is the place for Zulu people, hence the name KwaZulu, which means at the home of the Zulus. That's the name of the province. So that is in that province, 100% Africans speak isiZulu. When you go to other provinces like Gauteng, which is our commercial province, you will find a lot of a mixture of tribes or of people there. However, even there, you still find a lot of people speaking isiZulu. Even if you go to provinces which are much further away from KwaZulu-Natal, like Limpopo province or the Northwest province, which borders Botswana, you still find people there speaking in isiZulu. If you go to church there, to a church service, you will find isiZulu songs being sung in the church. So it's a language that is spoken, I can say, all over South Africa.
All right. Thank you so much. So with isiZulu, we know that usually with African languages, they are sometimes we have varieties of a particular language because maybe there's been migration, there's been movement and all that. So is there any variety of the language, and is it mutually intelligible with any other language?
Yes. So isiZulu, it's part of the Nguni languages, which are spoken in South Africa. And the origin of Nguni languages, we are told that they're from the Central Africa. As a result, they also share quite a few words with Swahili. The Nguni languages that are spoken in South Africa, it's isiZulu, isiXhosa, isiSwati, and isiNdebele. So those are the languages that sometimes you can say they are dialect of isiZulu, because most of the sounds are the same, and the words, the meaning of the words in those languages, they mean the same. So the people from the four groups are able to understand each other.
All right, thank you so much. And that brings me into question the issue of the writing systems. And so if, for instance, we have various dialects, and someone or a client would want to localize into isiZulu, is that a standard writing system that is used?
So the four Nguni languages that I talked about, they're quite different. They are languages on their own. So therefore, the spellings for all three, it's different in many ways. So if someone asks you to localize content in isiZulu, that will be specific to isiZulu. It will not be including words from maybe isiXhosa, isiSwati, or isiNdebele. I'm not sure if I understand your question very well. Please help clarify the question.
Yes, I was asking about the standard way of writing the language, but since you said it's a language on its own, so it's isiZulu, and then there's just one way of writing it, if I understood you well.
Yes, there's just one way of writing it. Although there is, it depends where you stay when it comes to the words that are used. People who live in the suburbs, in the big cities, they will not be using the same words as people who live in KwaZulu, in the rural areas. In the rural areas, you will use the authentic isiZulu words. Whereas when you're in the suburbs, usually we use a lot of English words just to make it easy for us to understand each other. Because when you get to the suburbs, there's quite a lot of different languages. So we try and make it easy. However, when you write down, you'll be using authentic isiZulu words.
Okay, so there's one thing you said that made me think about a phenomenon that is really rampant on the continent. You spoke about the fact that when you speaking, sometimes people add English words to it, and we know that in most parts of our continent, our languages are more spoken than they are written. So I want to find out if that is the case for isiZulu. Is it a language that is more written? Do we have, for instance, newspapers in the language? Do you have written materials? Is it widely used on the internet?
Yes, I would say it's widely used on the internet as well, but mainly for speaking, because most of the apps are to do with introducing words or naming things in isiZulu. Sometimes it's also dictionaries, and then it was also included in the Duolingo app, the app for learning different languages. isiZulu this year was included as one of the African languages following Swahili. to be included there. So it's mainly about people learning how to speak in isiZulu. When it comes to writing, learning to write isiZulu, it's only when someone goes to school that prescribes the learning of the language, or if someone is from Zulu from originally, their culture is Zulu. Other people just learn to speak it, to speak the language, not to write.
All right. Thank you so much for that explanation. I usually like to ask my guests some much more information about their work as language professionals. So as an isiZulu language practitioner, what are some of the projects that you've had to work with? What has been the nature of the request, and also the request that you get? Is it from clients outside the continent? Is it from within the continent? And generally, what has been the type of content that you've been working on?
All right. I am unable to speak specifically of the projects that I've worked on, but I can just talk in general to say clients are locally and also internationally. And the works that we do, sometimes it's to interpret patient leaflets, you know, the ones that go in with the medication to explain how to use it, or it's children's books most of the time also. We do that. So it's sometimes adverts as well. So that's the kind of work that we do, but it can be local or also internationally.
All right. And let's come to mobile and web applications. You spoke about the fact that it's on Duolingo. And would you be able to use isiZulu on a lot of applications and online platforms, or let's say, for instance, social media platforms? Are these localized into the language?
Online platforms, trying to understand the question. People do communicate using isiZulu. However, I'm not sure if you mean that this application are also offered in isiZulu, therefore in
yes.
isiZulu.
Yes, that's
okay.
What I mean.
No problem. No, not really. It's everything is in English, or it's offered in English, and then people who uses the applications, they do write or communicate in isiZulu.
Okay. So I want to talk about the language further, specifically some key points that you think that clients should consider when localizing into the language. Based from a localization perspective, in terms of maybe it could be about the language, it could be about the culture, or any other element that you think are really key for the isiZulu language and its people.
Okay, so isiZulu language and the people and the Zulu people, they have some things that they stress on. For example, respect for adults, and also respect for some cultural events. So when you are localizing a content, you must look at the target audience. If you're dealing with elderly people, then you have to deal in a respectful manner. And also the terms that you can use with the elderly, the young people may not understand. The younger generation is quite flexible to understand most of the content that is put out there. But when it comes to elderly audience, then you have to be careful which terms you use, to make sure that you give them the respect that they deserve. And also, it's also important to focus on the meaning of the content rather than just the direct translating what the content says, so that you don't lose the message of the content. And also to allow yourself time to do research as well, just to find out about the group, find out about the culture, find out about the age, even the setting of what the content is and how it relates to the group that you're going to be translating for.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm also curious to know about the language industry landscape in South Africa, whether, for instance, you have vibrant professional organizations, and generally, how is the landscape like in South Africa for the language industry?
So I will say that the language industry in South Africa, especially for indigenous languages, it's starting to how can I say, to be developed or to develop now? Because for many, many years, the indigenous languages, there was nothing or very little happening there. Most of the things were about English and Afrikaans. The books that the kids read, when you go to the shops, you wouldn't find books in indigenous languages, especially for kids to read and practice reading. So, but in the past, I would say in the past 5 years or so, I've seen a change there. A lot of even publishing companies, publishing indigenous languages books, even also the government speaking to the SEBAP schools also to include indigenous languages. Children have to do at least two African languages on top of English. Oh, sorry, it's one additional African language. And then if the medium of communication is English in the school. So I'll say we have seen great development. There's quite a lot of professional organizations that are interested in developing and furthering and also modernizing the indigenous languages in South Africa.
Do you have any final words, especially about the promotion of our African languages and what you see in South Africa?
Yes, I think my recommendation will be that it has to begin in homes. It has to start in homes. The promotion of indigenous languages has to start at home with parents, speaking the indigenous languages to their kids and stressing the importance of that, even also we as parents reading material in indigenous languages so that our kids can ask us, what are you reading? And you can get a chance to explain to the child what you are reading and who wrote it and get the child interested in his or her own language. We've seen a lot of improvement in those lines, but I would like to see more. I would like to see kids being proud of their languages, kids being interested in their languages. However, it has to start with us parents. I think that's what I would like to say.
We invite you to go to multilingual.com/AfricaLSP to receive a free 1-year digital subscription to Multilingual Magazine. You can also find this link in the podcast description.